What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to or watching, as the case may be, Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about this sound test. No, we're not talking about a sound test. I was actually doing some reworking of some stuff. I thought I had something adjusted wrong. Anyway, today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. For those of you that are tuned in, thank you for coming. There are 10 of you already, and on the Christianity Now streams, there are 6. That is amazing, and I really appreciate it. If you would, be the algorithm for us. So go to YouTube, Christianity Now streams, like, subscribe, share. Help us with our content. Help us get it out there. Facebook's algorithm doesn't pick up stuff like this very well. However, as I say this often, we punch way above our weight class in our reach and our views and stuff like that. That's because of you. Also, remember the Substack. Christianity Now has a Substack. Christianity Now also has an Instagram account, Understanding the Time. And quite frankly, Aaron's videos on there are doing pretty good. I've got another video from Aaron to put up. They're 60-second videos, little bite-sized tidbits to help you in your Christian walk. So avail yourself of those. And hello, Barry O'Dell. Good morning to you. Deborah O'Neill is here. Y'all are coming in, starting to comment. And incidentally, don't forget to subscribe on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. That helps us a lot. If we had a couple thousand subscribers on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio, and every time you got a chance, you wanted to just tune into one of my podcasts in an archive, you can start playing it, and you can let it play in the background while you're working out at the gym, while you're walking down the road for exercise, while you're cleaning your house, while you're working on your car, whatever. And that's what podcasts are really good for. And that's what all of these started out as. But really and truly, we're getting much more interaction from the live streams. But we're still getting a couple thousand downloads a month from the podcast. But we would love to have more. So just do that. Help us out with that. Remember, interacting is the way you can help promote the good work. Rusty Kirby, good morning. Terry Crooks, Deborah O'Neill, and Barry O'Dell from Mammoth Spring Church of Christ. Good to see everybody. Now, I'm so thankful for the conversations and such that we had about Holy Spirit baptism yesterday with Aaron Dotson. And today I wanted to kind of follow up on that with this article that I wrote. And I wrote the core of this article several years ago. Like back in 2016, I taught a class on the Holy Spirit at the local level. And I wrote this article after a conversation that I had with a guy named Don Gary. And this article was so based on what we discussed in that conversation that before I published this article on Substack, I sent it to Don Gary and I said, "Hey, about 7 or 8 years ago, you and I had a conversation and I wrote this article based off of that. I'm just asking because I want to know, do I need to give you credit and put you on a byline to share the byline with me?" And he laughed and he said, "No, I don't remember the conversation, but I do remember the material there and you don't need to give me credit at all." But so I didn't give him credit in the article, but I'm just telling you because I think it makes for a good story that any time that I come up with something really, really good, I always rack my brain to figure out where I got it from. Somebody in my past, a gospel preacher at the Mount Zion Church of Christ, who was an interim preacher for a moment, he always said, if I ever say anything that's really profound, It's because I plagiarized it. He said, I am a plagiarist, but I only plagiarize the most brilliant of people. That way I always sound brilliant. Of course, he had his tongue in his cheek, and nobody has a copyright on the truth. That's all I'm going to say about that. So don't forget Substack. That's where you can find this article. The article is linked in the show notes. I suppose I can link the article in the comment section. And it's a good article to keep, if I do say so myself, it's a good article to keep handy. And you can study this article and the verses in it with people who believe that the Holy Spirit directly operates on mankind today. Now, I will say this. If you leave the live stream and you say that Tony Brewer teaches that the only way God the Father, God the Son, and God of the Holy Spirit operates in the world today is through the Word of God only, then you will have misrepresented what I teach. I think it's another conversation to have when it comes to God's providence and how God works in the world today. However, when it comes to how the Holy Spirit operates on the mind of man, on the heart of man, it is through His Word. And that's, in my opinion, incontrovertible. Copying from one is plagiarism. Copying from many is research. Yes, I understand you're making a joke there, but that's about the truth, isn't it? All right. We do have a sponsor today, and I'm just going to put this out. This is for you listeners and everything, folks. This is the last time we're going to have an ad read with LaBeth that talks about her ability to take on clients, because she is almost at the most amount of clients that she can have. She just can only do so much. So here's the ad read. I want you to think about, be a mindful soul. In life, we all face moments where we crave understanding and a listening ear. That's where LaBeth Brewer steps in with Be a Mindful Soul. Whether you need the sage advice of an older sister, help navigating relationship conflicts, or guidance on enhancing your parenting skills, LaBeth is here for you. And if it goes a step further, she can help connect you with a professional in your area, if that's what's needed. Discover a haven of support and the path to peace and stability at BeAMindfulSoul.com today, because everyone deserves a LaBeth in their corner. So go to www.BeAMindfulSoul.com and avail yourself of the free consult that she offers and find out how she can help you be a mindful soul. And if you want to do that, you better do it quick, because she's running out of space. She only has one or two more slots, from my understanding. That being said, you'll probably hear some more ad reads from LaBeth, and we have another person that we're going to start promoting, another business that we're going to start promoting, so be on the lookout for that. But if you go to BeAMindfulSoul.com, you can look at some of the other things that LaBeth has to offer. She has a blog and stuff like that, so you'll enjoy yourself there. Let's talk about the topic of discussion for the day. Let me get in here to Substack, and I'm just going to read the article like I do typically, and we'll talk about it. And I would love to hear from you all and some of your thoughts and understanding of the subject. All right. The article is entitled "The Holy Spirit and the Power of God's Word: A Reflection on Psalm 119. And I think about Psalm 119, and I like, you know, a lot of people say, well, Psalm 119 is the psalm about the Word of God. And I like what one of my teachers in school said. He rather conceptualizes it as Psalm 119, the psalm about the God of the Word. Because the only way we know God outside of the fact that He just exists is through His Word. You wouldn't know anything about the nature of God. You wouldn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't even know anything about Jesus outside the fact that he exists without God's revealed word. So I like Psalm 119. All right. In contemporary discussions about the Christian walk of faith, one recurrent theme is the way the Holy Spirit works in our lives. There are those who firmly assert that the Holy Spirit guides, illuminates, and convicts humans directly, reaching out to individuals separately from the Word of God. Looking closely at the Scriptures, especially the statements made in Psalm 119, we find a different story. The psalmist's statements indicate that everything we credit to the Holy Spirit is attributed to God's Word in some form or another. This means that the actions of the Holy Spirit are carried out through God's Word. Let us dig into this idea further by examining the verses in Psalm 119 that show the relationship between the work of the Holy Spirit and God's Word. And if you're reading along with me, you know I've got to go back. I've messed up. This psalmist needs to be possessive. The psalmist's statements indicate. Anyway, so let's talk about the mediating role of God's Word. And incidentally, if y'all have questions, comments, observations, put them in the comment section and we'll get to them. And good morning. I went to tip my hat. I never wear a hat when they're in a live stream. Good morning. Good to see you. And I'm going to get this comment by Greg James. Amen. Through the Word only are we led by the Spirit. Too many members of the Lord's church believe the Spirit works in them today. I believe most are converts from denominations that believe the actual indwelling. It's not about feelings, but the truth of his word working in us. I agree with that statement and would like to be associated with it. Good statement, good comment there. So let's talk about the mediating role of God's word. So what about protection from sin? All right. Well, many attribute the power to refrain from sinning to the Holy Spirit. Yet the psalmist reminds us that God's word treasured in one's heart is what keeps us from sin. Listen to Psalm 119:11. I imagine 99 out of 100 Christians could quote it. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Notice, the world says the Holy Spirit directly operates to keep us from sinning, but the psalmist said the word keeps him from sinning. So what's the only conclusion to draw? Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. But what about breathing life and comfort? While it's often claimed that the Holy Spirit breathes life into us and comforts us directly, the psalmist identifies the Word of God as the true source of revival and comfort during afflictions. Psalm 119:50 and 119:52. I'll read those respectively. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me, hath made me alive. I remembered in thy judgments. Well, hold on a second. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. So the comfort that comes from God is the empowering knowledge of God that allows the psalmist to comfort himself. This is the Holy Spirit working through the mediation of God's word. Again, the only conclusion we're allowed to draw that we'll talk about in a moment. The world says the Holy Spirit comforts us directly, that the Holy Spirit makes us alive directly. The problem is, the psalmist conceptualizes that through the word, and the psalmist is inspired. So this is the Holy Spirit telling us how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit's telling us what he does, and then the necessary inference. Okay, we infer necessarily then one thing, and we're forced to infer that. So let's talk about illumination and understanding. Oh, this is a big one. The popular belief of the Holy Spirit illuminating the Scriptures and directly bestowing understanding stands counter to the psalmist's portrayal of deriving understanding through adherence to God's precepts in his word. Psalm 119:73 and 119:104. I'll read those respectively. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Now, as we are going through this in the podcast, I'm going to say here that it could be interpreted from Psalm 119:73 that the psalmist is actually asking for understanding from a divine source to learn God's commandments. But we see in the next verse that I cite, it's through thy precepts I get understanding. So built into this, and we're going to read that section. But again, what the world says the Holy Spirit does directly, the psalmist attributes it to the word in some form or another. The necessary inference makes us draw only one conclusion. What about anchoring hope in God's word? Well, it's common to seek hope directly from the Holy Spirit. However, the psalmist finds hope through the refuge provided in God's word, thus showcasing the scripture as a channel through which the Holy Spirit operates. Notice verse 81 of Psalm 119. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I conceptualize this in this manner. The psalmist, going through the hardships of his life, longs, pants after the salvation that comes from God and all that that entails. And the reason that he's able to keep on keeping on, the reason he's able to have hope, is because of the word of God. The inference there causes us to conclude only one thing, and we'll talk about that later. So let's talk about wisdom and guidance. There's a consensus that wisdom comes directly from the Holy Spirit. Yet the psalmist accentuates the role of God's commandments in imparting wisdom, guiding through adversities, and providing a deeper understanding compared to ancient teachers. So Psalm 119, 98, 99, 100, and then Psalm 105, Psalm 119, 105. I'll read all those respectively. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. The commandments are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Notice all of these things that the world says the Holy Spirit does directly, the psalmist attributes to the word of God in some form or another. So when it comes to wisdom and guidance, well, it comes through the word, and we are forced then necessarily to infer one thing, drawing only one conclusion. Now let's clarify this interdependence from Psalm 119:73. An interpretation, and we touched on this earlier, but I'm just going to re-up it because it's part of the blog. And the way I organized it, I thought it was good to have this here instead of taking a segment in the earlier section to do. Anyway, an interpretation of Psalms 119:73 could suggest a direct operation of the Holy Spirit in granting understanding to learn God's commandments. However, a deeper engagement with scriptures, especially Psalm 119, 98 through 105, overrules the direct operation theory, highlighting the pivotal role played by the commandments in fostering wisdom. This essence is further corroborated in 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, emphasizing the scripture as the tool to make the man of God complete and ready for every good work. Remember when Paul told Timothy about his knowledge of the scriptures, which are able to make him wise unto salvation, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the reason you do that is because these scriptures that Timothy had studied was able to make him wise unto salvation, because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Folks, what more do you need besides the scriptures? The work of the Holy Spirit has been done in that area, and the scriptures are that which is perfect. They're complete. You don't need anything else for any other reason than the Holy Scriptures. The Word of God is that which makes the man of God complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Perfect. Perfect. Completely outfitted is the idea. All right, so what's the conclusion of the matter? Through this reflective journey guided by the psalmist's words, we are invited to embrace a deeper understanding of the Holy Spirit's modus operandi, his mode of operation. I felt a little bit pompous putting that in there, but I really like the phrase modus operandi. Anyway, while the Holy Spirit undeniably works tirelessly, he does so through the profound wisdom encapsulated in scriptures, offering guidance, understanding, and comfort through the rich tapestry of God's Word. And I say that before we start really focusing on the Holy Spirit, understand that it's Jesus who is our Parakletos, our Comforter. 1 John chapter 2 is doing that, and Jesus is doing that through the Holy Spirit, through the medium of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's accomplished it through the medium of God's Word. All right? Therefore, so because of this, we should immerse ourselves more in the sacred scriptures, allowing the words to shape our lives, fostering a deep and nourishing relationship with the Holy Spirit through God's Word. Let us appreciate the true power of scriptures, a complete tool for fostering wisdom, guidance, rather than seeking direct interventions to foster a rich, rewarding Christian walk guided by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was with Saul when he was chasing David. Did God, the Spirit, make or guide or lead Saul to seek and kill, murder David? Well, absolutely not, and I know that you don't believe that. The Spirit in time left Saul because Saul of his own actions. Yeah, because of Saul's own action. And there's a Facebook user, and again, I haven't said this in a while. The reason I'm not saying your name, Facebook user, is because this is what I see. It just says Facebook user. So I'm happy that you're listening and watching, and I wish I could get people to understand this. You and me both. You and me both. And Sandra Olmsted says, amen. Sandra, thank you for watching. And I really appreciate Sandra. Sandra goes way back with Christianity Now and Cogitations. She's been a longtime friend of the show and friend of the family, by the way. Although she may not want me saying that. So what is the only inference? Well, we can infer from what the text implies that everything that the world says the Holy Spirit does directly, the psalmist, who is an authority because he's inspired, says that the Word does. Now, it's not the Word only. I mean, because I can say words. My words are not inspired. The Holy Spirit's not working through my words unless my words are God's words, and then I can be taken out of the equation is the point I'm trying to make. The Holy Spirit operates on the hearts and mind of man to illuminate him, to make him wise, to comfort him, to make him alive, to sustain him, to give him hope, to guide him through life, to keep him from sin. All of that is accomplished through the medium of God's Word. That's why I labeled this the mediating role of God's Word. And incidentally, mediative is a word, gotta be mediative, but I couldn't figure out how to find the definition of it or anything. So I didn't use the word mediative, But the Holy Spirit works in the world through the Word of God. Jesus works through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit delivers the will of Jesus, the will which is the will of God the Father, and the word that was delivered. That's how the Holy Spirit operates on the world. Think about this. Here's an illustration. How does the Holy Spirit work through the Word? How can you conceptualize this with an illustration? All right, worship service begins at 10 a.m. And at 9:55, your 100-member congregation has about half its congregants in the auditorium milling about and stuff like that. And so it's time to start. So the person who's going to do announcements gets up and says, "Hello, everybody. It's time to begin our services. If you would, won't you come to order and find your seats? And let's sit down and we'll start preparing our mind to enter into services. I'm about to start the announcements before services." Well, you put everybody in their seat, but did you do it directly, or did you do it through your word? See, your spirit delivered your word that was commensurate with your will, and how it affected reality was everybody listened to it and took heed unto it, and they went sat down in their seats. Why? Because it was actually time to start. Now, if it was not actually time to start, your words would carry no power. If you aren't on Facebook, what are you on? I'm on Facebook. I think on the Facebook user, though, if you're listening to this in the We Talk Truth group, then it's not going to give you it's not going to give me your name. So anyway, how did you affect that crowd? Well, through the power of the word of truth. And what delivered that word of truth? Well, my spirit did, my breath. Now, what if it wasn't true? Then nobody would listen to you. That word would have no power. Now, how would you directly operate to put somebody in their seat? Well, you would have to go physically take them. All right? That's not how it happens anymore. It happens through the power of the word. I hope that illustration was halfway clear. Barry O'Dell, Mammoth Spring Church of Christ. It is often the case when the work of the Holy Spirit is discussed, it becomes very subjective. I feel he, or I think he. Speculation is based on a few cherry-picked verses without context. I agree with that 100%. Yeah, this is going to sound hard to hear for some folks, but we got to throw what we feel out the window. God is way less concerned with our feelings than he's concerned with our actions. Awesome. Sandra said it was clear and it helps. Good deal. God is way less concerned with our feelings than he is our actions. We are commanded to be joyous. We're never commanded to feel joy. We're commanded to be saved. We're never commanded to feel saved. We are promised to be able to know we're saved. We're never promised we can feel saved. So there's, you know, something to think about there. The Holy Spirit operating through the word takes away all those feelings, because I could be mistaken. I watched, I can't remember the name of the congregation, and I can't remember the name of the girl now, but she was a graduate of David Lipscomb. Well, she was an intern at the time, and she was a Bible student, and she went to a congregation in Middle Tennessee that still had the name Church of Christ plastered on the door. And she wasn't, David Lipscomb called this guy, Patrick Mead, and said, we need a place for a preaching intern, but she's female. And Patrick Mead said, well, send her. And they did. And there's video, if you can still find it on YouTube, of this girl preaching on stage and stuff like that. And there's an interview where she was interviewed and she said, and then they was asking like, how'd you come to this? And she said, well, she talked about the Spirit guiding her. And here's how she talked about the Spirit guiding her. If I make a decision and I do something and I feel at peace about it, then that's the Holy Spirit telling me I'm doing right. If I make a decision and I don't feel at peace about it, that's the Holy Spirit telling me I'm doing wrong. What's Jeremiah say about the heart? It's fickle. Who can understand it? We don't follow. All she's doing is she's saying that she's the God of her life, and she's not being guided by her holy, by the Holy Spirit. She's being guided by her feelings and thoughts and emotions. She's the God of her own life is the idea. But that's what a lot of people, that's what Barry talked about, that it's often the case that when the work of the Holy Spirit is discussed, it becomes very subjective. And that's what this girl did. In fact, I've got somewhere, I've got that video, and that would be a really good reaction video where I played it and then we reacted to it. Blasu says, please extend the program to Ghana. Well, if you're in Ghana, then you're watching the program. There ain't much I can do to extend it. If you want to help me out with monetary support, I will focus some of the advertising dollars from the monetary support to Ghana. I've done that before. I've had some folk from Nigeria send me advertising or send me support monetarily, and I have focused advertising to Nigeria, and in fact that's done pretty good. I think that's why a lot of people in the continent of Africa get my podcast. In fact, I can show you, we'll take a brief excursus here, bear with me. I'm going to go to Podbean and I will show you my analytics of on Podbean. I will show you how many podcast downloads I get from the continent of Africa. I mean, it's not huge. I'm not viral by any means, but it's fun. And I'm pretty much done. If anybody has any questions or observations about what we've discussed, man, put them in the comment sections. We'll talk about them. I'm usually on here for an hour, but it's only been 34 minutes. Let me go to statistics and overview. Well, that's Guyana. Yeah. Nigeria. Let me do this out to, all right. In the last 12 months, I've gotten 15,000 downloads from the United States, 1,900 downloads from Canada, Guyana's 567. The United Kingdom is 449. Nigeria is 365. Singapore, 72. Well, you know what? I stand corrected. I thought for sure Ghana had a few downloads. But here's my suggestion. If you want your fellows in Ghana to hear this material, you have to share it to your social media. You have to go to Podbean, subscribe to the podcast channel, and direct people to the podcast, or go to YouTube and share the live stream to your social media, and then tag people in your area and say, listen to this, and it'll grow that way. Anyway, Lauren, that's it. Greg James, Lauren King, the Fourth Avenue Church of Christ intern minister. The intern staff believe the Holy Spirit is in the room and guiding them. Absolutely. All right, here's a good one. I was told if I didn't have the indwelling of the Spirit, I wasn't part of Christ. I said, I do through a study of the Word, which is from the Spirit, but that didn't fly with them. Well, you were correct. And again, here's the thing. Let me. I try not to get wrapped up in how the Spirit indwells. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that. I try not to get wrapped up into how the Spirit indwells. If I get to heaven and I find out that literally and in his person of deity, the Holy Spirit is in all of us, I mean, I'm not going to put in a complaint with the manager. But that's speculation. The Bible does not say how. The Bible only talks about the indwelling. And I think it's not a personal indwelling. I think it's a collective indwelling. If you are in Christ, then you are in. Well, let's just do this. Listen to this language in Colossians chapter 3. And this is again, this is why I don't think the indwelling is personal, individual. All right. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ setteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above, not on things of the earth. Why? Now listen to this. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So I'm with Christ in God. So me and Christ together is in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. So me and Christ are in God. So God, we dwell in God. Now let's go over here to Ephesians. Ephesians 3, Paul's prayer. Listen to this. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So God's Spirit is in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. So me and Christ are in God, but I'm also filled with all the fullness of God, and God's Spirit is in the inner man. How does all this take place? And incidentally, if you lick your finger and turn left, remember there were no chapter and verse breaks when the Bible was written. You can read verse 19 of chapter 2. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up into an holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also were builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now that doesn't mean that the Spirit is the facilitator. That means the Spirit is the bridge and the gap. You have to go through from one side to the other, the Spirit. There's metaphorically, we conceptualize how that happens. It's kind of like, for by grace are you saved through faith. That word through contains the Holy Spirit. If you want to have access to the grace through the faith, you walk through that corridor of faith by guidance of the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. You do what he tells you to do, and you're baptized by one Spirit into one body. Meaning by the instructions of the Holy Spirit, you're baptized into that body. You've access to the grace by faith. And the corridor, the entity that guides you through that corridor is the Holy Spirit. Now, all of this dwells in your heart through faith, the action you take based on what you believe. Let's go to John chapter 20. No, 17. 20? Is that what I'm looking for? Yeah, listen to this. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which will believe on me through their word. Listen to it. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me. Now, wait a second. So the Father is in Jesus, and I in thee, and Jesus is in the Father, that they may be one in us. So we are in the Father and Jesus. Wouldn't that mean that the Father and Jesus are in us? All right. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So how are the Father and Jesus one? The Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father. How are we and God one? We are in God, and God is in us. How is that accomplished? It's accomplished through faith. If it's not accomplished through faith, and this is some kind of literal thing, it's a logical absurdity, and God has violated his own nature because God is logic, reason, order, and literally God being in us and we in him, that's a logical absurdity. It's chaos. It's not order. That's my spiel. That's my discussion on the indwelling of the Spirit. I think the indwelling of the Spirit is not collective or is not individual. It's collective, and it denotes fellowship. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in me, and I am in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the faith of Jesus Christ, the system promulgated on the day of Pentecost, facilitates that. My response to that system facilitates that. So my personal faith and the system of faith work in tandem, and by the Spirit's guidance, i.e. his instructions, I navigate that corridor into the location where the grace is. Bada bing, bada boom. If the Word of God couldn't keep Joshua Harris in the faith, what power does it actually have? Only for those who are convicted by it. The Word of God is only going to change a person if they obey it. It is 100% up to you. If somebody wants to leave the faith, God will allow them to leave the faith. That's it. Yeah, that's not an indictment of the Word of God. That's not an indictment of the Word of God. Friends in the world use this verse, John 6:44, waiting for the Spirit to tell them what to do instead of reading Jesus' commands. Some of the church folk pray for the Spirit to guide us into all truth. Oh, yeah. The apostles were guided into all truth. You and I were not. We got to study. Interestingly enough, John 6:44. Let's go there. I'm in the book of John already in my trusty rusty. John 6:44. Where are you at? 44. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, this next section is epexegetical. In other words, I like that. It's a $10 word, but the next section explains or informs this sentiment. Listen, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he that which is of God hath seen the Father. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Pretty simple. Now, in the context, right there, you're not going to come to Jesus unless the Father draws you. How does the Father draw you? Through the Word. You have to be taught. That's the thing. I'll go back to this right here because something just come up. All right. If the word of God couldn't keep Joshua Harris in the faith, Joshua Harris was never in the faith. Neither was this fanatic or whatever. So they never did submit to God's word. That's we got to get that straight. I just finished an article today that might help us out here. The article is called Beyond Denominations, The Call to Unity. And I'll read the introduction. In recent times, the array of choices concerning religious affiliations seems to embrace a politically correct notion, offering a buffet of faith systems, including Catholicism, Protestantism, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, and many others. Yet the call from Ephesians 4:5 resounds through time, reminding us of one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and urging us to ponder whether this modern-day array of religious affiliations aligns with the scriptural mandate for unity in faith. You cannot have unity in faith without doctrine. If somebody doesn't follow the doctrine, they're not in Christ. Now that's difficult to, that's a difficult pill to swallow. But let me give you a verse, and this verse is germane to this tangent here. It's in Acts chapter 20, and this is where Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders at Miletus, and he's saying, "Listen, I'm going to Jerusalem." Now let me find the verse. Well, let me we'll just start reading here. All right. "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, 'You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds of afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren," and this is the crux, this is the point, boom. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver apparel." Anyway, folks, the word of God is able to build us up and to give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. If we choose to spurn God's word, that doesn't mean God's word doesn't have power and cannot accomplish the purpose for which it was given. It just means we choose not to follow the instructions. If you want to make $1 million, there's this formula. If you don't follow the formula, can you actually say the formula doesn't work? Well, the answer is no. We've got 100 people out here that followed the formula and they made $1 million. And then you come along. I'm not saying you, Xavier. I'm just saying anybody comes along and they says, "Well, your formula is not powerful because I didn't get $1 million. Did you follow the formula?" "Well, I followed some of it." That doesn't mean that the formula is not powerful. The word of God is powerful. It will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. And the purpose for which it was sent is to save all that believe, is to reconcile all people who want to follow God by faith into one location. Well, it absolutely will do that. But if you're not following God by faith, then you're not going to be in that location. That doesn't mean the word of God is not powerful. So let's say that these two people were the epitome of first century New Testament Christians and all that that entails. Well, if they decided to leave the light, that's not an indictment of the Word of God. That's an indictment of those men. Anyway, good stuff. All right, folks. I think... yeah, that's a rough one. Hold on a sec. Oh, good morning, Angie B. Yes, Substack is a wonderful resource. I'm just tickled pink that I'm on it now. I found I can't make them see it my way, so I just keep quiet. That is absolutely not a bad way to behave if the disagreement you're having is a matter of judgment and academic pursuit. What is the gift of Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38? That's an academic judgment. That's an academic pursuit. The indwelling, is it literal or through the word only? That's an academic pursuit. Does the Holy Spirit guide me directly, separate and apart from the word? That's not an academic pursuit. You cannot agree to disagree there. So you got to be careful. Make sure that you're not worshiping with people who are teaching damnable false doctrine. All right. That's all I've got, folks. I'm so thankful to every one of you and the comments that you made. Please be the algorithm for us. And I'm only mentioning this because the fellow wanted me to expand the show in Ghana. If you want me to expand this show in your area, then go to Podbean, or excuse me. Yeah, well, the way you can do it for free is go to Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and share this podcast on your timeline, tagging people who are in your area. And Facebook's algorithm will put it in front of other people that you don't even know who share similar interest. And if you want me to just say, hey, Tony, I'm going to send you $100 and I want you to do a Facebook campaign for the podcast of How the Holy Spirit Works Through the Word, then I will boost this Facebook post, this live stream, or this Substack article, or whatever you want, $100 worth of advertisement, but I will boost it in your area. And again, my PayPal is an old PayPal, NEAR, near churches, CHURCHES, NEARCHURCHES @gmail.com. If you can't get that, shoot me a message on Christianity Now and I'll get it to you. But you can send me $100 in PayPal and I'll advertise in your area, or $50 or $20, whatever you can. But you can accomplish it for free just by sharing the content on your personal Facebook page and tagging people in your area. Folks, that's all I've got here. Remember, the only inference, the necessary inference from the implication of the psalmist is that we have the Holy Spirit working through the medium of God's Word. I really hope that you've been enlightened and informed and edified, and I hope I've said something that will help your Christian walk. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations, and we'll catch you on the flip side.